Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Ballabha Giribada Hari. Gopi Jana Ballabha Giribada Hari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Padavajitacharya Sautheta Siddha Shri Srimad Divine Guru Tesi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai ISKCON BBD Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jayam Vishnupada, Paramahansa Padavajikacharya, Stotra, Sutta Shishimas, Divine Grace, Bhakti Siddhanta, Saraswati, Goswami Maharaj, Kijai, Vaishnavindi, Kijai, Namacharya, Shlaharadas, Thakur, Kijai, Vensikaho, Shukrishna Chaitanya, Prabhuna Chinanda, Shri Advaita Gadadar, Shivasiri, Govula Bhakta Vrinda, Kijai, Shri Shri Radha Krishna, Gogopinath, Shyamakunda, Radha Kunda, Girigopadam, Kijai, Vrindavan Dam, Kijai, Nabadeep Mayapur Dam Ki Jai, Ganga Jaminamai Ki Jai, Tulasi Devi Maharani Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 15, text 35. And we're also going to do 36. So, but we'll chant this one here. Tesham itiri tam ubhav avad harya goram. Tesham itiri tam ubhav avad harya goram. Tam brahma dandam anivaranam astrapugai. Tam brahma dandam anivaranam astrapugai. Sajyo hader anuchara vuru bibhyatastat. Paragrahav apatatam atikatarena. Padagrahav apatatam atikatarena. Tesham itiritam ubhav ava hardagoram. Tesham Tam Brahma Dandam Anivaranam Ashtapugai. Sajo Hader Anucharav Urubib Yatastat. Paragrahav Apatatam Atikatarena. Others? Vaishnavis. Tesham of the four Kumaras. Iti, thus. Iditam, uttered. Ubao, both doorkeepers. Avadharya, understanding. Goram, terrible. Tam, that. Brahmadandam, curse of a Brahmana. Anivaranam, not able to be counteracted. Ashtrapugai, by any kind of weapon. Saja, at once. Hare, of the Supreme Lord. Anucharo, devotees. Uru, very much. Bibhyataha, became fearful. Tatpadagraho, grasping their feet. Apatatam, fell down. Atikatarena, in great anxiety. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When the doormen of Vaikuntha Loka, who were certainly devotees of the Lord, found that they were going to be cursed by the Brahmanas, they at once became very much afraid and fell down at the feet of the Brahmanas in great anxiety. For a Brahmana's curse cannot be counteracted by any kind of weapon. Purport. Although by chance the doorman committed a mistake by checking the Brahmanas from entering the gate of Vaikuntha, they were once aware of the gravity of the curse. There are many kinds of offenses. So just to repeat, the curse was that they should be removed from this place, I mean Vaikuntha, to the material world, where the living entities have three kinds of enemies. So that was the curse. So where was I? Yeah, from Brahmana's curse cannot be counteracted by any kind of weapon. Although by chance the doorman committed a mistake by checking the Brahmanas from entering the gate of Vaikuntha, they were at once aware of the gravity of the curse. There are many kinds of offenses, but the greatest offense is to offend a devotee of the Lord. Because the doormen were also devotees of the Lord, they were able to understand their mistake and were terrified when the four Kumaras were ready to curse them. And I'm going to do 36 as well. Bhuyad ag honi bhagavad bir akari dando yo nau hareta sura helanam apyashesham mabo nutappa kalaya bhagavat smriti gyo moho bhavat ihatu nau brajator adodad. Adoha, translation. After being cursed by the sages, the doorman said, "It is quite apt that you have punished us for neglecting to respect sages like you. But we pray that due to your compassion at our repentance, the illusion of forgetting the Supreme Personality of Godhead will not come upon us as we go progressively downward." Purport. To a devotee, any heavy punishment is tolerable, but the one which affects forgetfulness of the Supreme Lord. The doormen, who were also devotees, could understand the punishment meted out to them, for they were conscious of the great offense they had committed by not allowing the sages to enter Vaikuntha Loka. In the lowest species of life, including the animal species, forgetfulness of the Lord is very prominent. The doormen were aware that they were going to the criminal department of the material world, and they expected that they might go to the lowest species and forget the Supreme Lord. They prayed, therefore, that this might not happen in the lives they were going to accept because of the curse. In Bhagavad Gita, 16th chapter, verses 19 and 20, it is said that those who are envious of the Lord and His devotees are thrown into the species of abominable life. Life after life, such fools are unable to remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore they continue going down and down. Om Aginata Madanda Shajananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Bhutambiena Tasmai Sri Gurudeve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Didati Swapadanti Kam. So, the story is progressing. Now, when you stop and think about what's going on here, which, by the way, is a good idea to stop and think about what's going on when you read these pastimes, not just this one, but in general. it's a good idea to reflect and, well, what's actually going on here? Because when the pastimes are actually meant for that purpose. They're meant for that purpose, and I'm going to say more about that as the class progresses. But when you do that, at least to my mind, there were different things came to my mind as that were happening here as being unusual. Okay? I'll give you an example. So this is Vaikuntha, right? This is taking place in Vaikuntha. And Jaya and Vijaya, the doormen, in Vaikuntha. So in Vaikuntha, you have Nichasiddha devotees, not ordinary, you know, materially conditioned people. They're Nichasiddha devotees. So it seemed to me a little bit strange, because, and there's no mention about anything that, you know, that Jaya and Vijaya were in bad consciousness because of this or that. You know, there they are. They're just the guards, Nichasiddha devotees. Why would they respond like that to the four Kumaras? It seems like kind of strange. You know, they're there. The four Kumaras are coming, and they have their staff, and it's described that all of a sudden they have red eyes with anger, and they go, stop, you know, and they stop the four. It seems like that's to me, that when it seems like the behavior of two bouncers at a nightclub in, you know, the hood, not what you'd expect from the doorkeepers at Vaikuntha. I mean, let's, you know, if I was fantasizing in my mind how that could have played out. And I mean, if it was me, who am far from a doorkeeper in Vaikuntha, I would say, excuse me, fellas, does Lord Narayan know you're coming? I'm sorry to disturb you, but I'm the doorkeeper. I'm supposed to ask everybody. And, you know, the four Kumaras might say, well, you know, we're the four Kumaras. He's not expecting us. We don't have an appointment, but he'll be happy to see us. And then as the doorkeeper, I would say, okay, well, I'm sure you're right, but would you mind if I just kind of confirm that? Because he might be in the middle of doing something else. In the meantime, can we offer you some refreshments? Can we offer you, you know, can we offer you a place to sit and some refreshments? And my partner here, Vijay, would be glad to hear about your travels and, you know, any interesting things you might like to tell him. And I'll be very quick. I'll just be a moment, you know. You'd expect like some sort of conversation like that to take place, right? Because these are culture, well, more than culture. These are Nichasiddhas. They're beyond the modes of the three modes of material nature. They're very elevated souls. So you'd expect that they would deal with the four Kumaras like that. I mean, they weren't criminals. You know, it wasn't like the four Rakshasas had showed up or something like that, and they were just felt like, well, we've got to protect Lord Narayan right now. No, they were sages in the disguise of young boys. Either way, it seems unusual to me, odd, that they elicited that type of behavior from from Jaya and Vijaya, who, as far as we know, up to that point, were just, you know, Vaikuntha guards, Nichasiddha residents of Vaikuntha. So that's unusual, okay? At least to my mind, that was unusual. Then the next thing that was unusual is how the four Kumaras responded. Okay, you know, it's the four Kumaras, they were stopped, but they were sages, great sages. And they could have, even if, you know, the Jaya and Vijaya behaved like that, they could say, oh, I'm sorry, we're the four Kumaras. You know, they could explain themselves. We're the four Kumaras. We're actually, the sons of Lord Brahma, the four-headed Lord Brahma from this particular universe, and we're devotees of Lord Narayan. They could explain themselves a little bit and to try to mitigate the situation. You know, you might think that might happen. But no, it's kind of strange. You know, Vijaya and Vijaya stopped them with the staff, and the next thing you know, the four Kumaras are cursing them to go to the material world. Pretty extreme. Right? I mean, you know, after all, they're the four Kumaras. They're not the four Devasa Munis, right? Devasa Muni was, you know, famous for that kind of behavior. He would curse somebody at the drop of a hat. But, you know, these were four great elevated sages. You know, you think they might be a little bit more like, okay, you know, chilled out, you know. Well, you know, we're not trying to do anything harm. You know, could you let us? You know, they could explain themselves, in other words, which that didn't happen. So somebody might ask the question also, well, how is it that, four great devotees like the four Kumaras could respond like that? Well, here's an interesting point. At that point, they weren't four great devotees. And at that, they were sages. They were Brahmins, and they were sages. But we, as the story will progress, we learn that at that point, what we're hearing right now, they were Brahmavadis. You know, they were devotees, obviously. If they weren't devotees, what would they be doing, going to Vaikuntha to see Lord Narayan? But they had, like, a lot of affection for the impersonal understanding of the absolute truth. And at that point, they were not actually, like, 100%, you know, sold out pure devotees of Lord Narayan. And that's described here in a couple of verses to come. Yeah, so just to give you a little bit more back information so it makes sense. So Jaya Vijaya, now they're appealing to the four Kumaras. Please, you know, if you're going to curse us, okay, but at least make it so that we don't forget Krishna as we're going down. And meantime, Lord Narayan knows what's going on. He shows up on the scene. He appears on the scene. And when he appears on the scene, the four Kumaras, they get darshan, and his is the description of what they experienced when Lord Narayan appeared. It says here, when the breeze carrying the aroma of the tulsi leaves from the toes of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead entered the nostrils of those sages, they experienced a change both in body and in mind, even though they were attached to the impersonal Brahman understanding. So in other words, they experienced a transformation. At that point, they got the mercy. In other words, right at that point. And they became great devotees then. So, but up till that point, they were devotees of a sort, you know, but not to the highest level. They still had this great attachment for the impersonal Brahman. So, anyway, the big question remains, though. So what's going on here? Why is this happening like this? And actually, the four Kumaras at that point, they started offering prayers, glorifying Lord Narayan. And then after a long string of prayers, they conclude by apologizing for what they did. They, you know, it's in the next chapter, after offering a lot of prayers glorifying Lord Narayan, they say, "O Lord, whatever punishment you wish to award to these two innocent persons," their whole perspective, their whole way of thinking about the whole thing changed as a result of getting that darshan from Lord Narayan and smelling the aroma of the tulsi leaves, and, you know, their consciousness became transformed into that of, like, pure devotees, as opposed to whatever they, just sages who were, some had some respect and appreciation for Lord Narayan. Now they were, you know, sold out, 100% pure devotees, and in this new consciousness, they're, this is what they're expressing. Whatever punishment you wish to award these two innocent persons, or also to us, we shall accept without duplicity. We understand that we have cursed two faultless persons. So that's quite a change, right? I mean, you know, here we were just a few verses ago, they're cursing them, you know, there's, you know, some reason, not with no reason, but they're cursing them to go to the material world. But now they're seeing the whole thing completely differently, and they're apologizing, and they're feeling that they had cursed two faultless persons. See? So, all right, but then the question one that I raised a few seconds ago, well, what's going on? In the next verse, Lord Narayan explains what's going on. He says, the Lord replied, O Brahmins, know that the punishment you inflicted on them was originally ordained by me. That's it right there. See, this whole thing is a pastime. It's arranged by Krishna. It's arranged by Lord Narayan. He's got some purposes that he wants to fulfill. And he's expanded his yoga maya, as he does in many, many different situations, to inspire or influence different personalities to behave in a certain way so that certain things will happen, and that as a result of that, he can do things. He could give certain lessons or fulfill some purposes of his desires of his own, which is the case here. It says here, okay, so this was originally ordained by me, and therefore they will fall to a birth in a demonic family, but they will be firmly united with me in thought through mental concentration intensified by anger, and they will return to my presence shortly. So, okay, so now we understand what happened there, why it's, you know, why this has happened. unusual turn of events. So what purpose was Krishna trying to achieve here? Why would it be ordained by him? Well, that's explained in the first paragraph of this, the purport to this. It says, the Lord stated that the punishment inflicted by the sages upon the doorkeepers, Jaya and Vijaya, was conceived by himself. Without the Lord's sanction, nothing can happen. It is to be understood that there was a plan in cursing of the Lord's devotees in Vaikuntha, and his plan is explained by many stalwart authorities. And here it comes. The Lord sometimes desires to fight. The fighting spirit also exists in the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, how could fighting be manifested at all? Because the Lord is the source of everything, anger and fighting are also inherent in his personality. When he desires to fight with someone, he has to find an enemy. But in Vaikuntha world, there is no enemy because everyone is engaged fully in his service. Therefore, he sometimes comes to the material world as an incarnation in order to manifest his fighting spirit. So that's the specific reason that the stalwart authorities are giving why, Lord Narayan or Lord Krishna inspired, Jaya and Vijaya to behave like that, the four Kumaras to respond like that, so he could, engage his fighting spirit like that. Okay, but now there's a name for Krishna, and I can't remember what it is, but the description is he can accomplish many purposes with one activity. Does anybody know that word or phrase or name? He can achieve many objectives, but with one act. No. It's Sanskrit. It's a name for Krishna. I couldn't remember it either. So anyway, don't feel bad. But this is an example of that. He's doing that. Yeah, sure. He's accomplishing the purpose. He gets a chance to fight. He set this whole thing up so he can now fight with his devotees in the material world and enjoy that fighting propensity. But in addition to that, other things happen. One, I mentioned two already, the four Kumaras became pure devotees. They weren't up until this point. As I read, they were Brahmavadis. They had like more affection for the impersonal Brahman understanding than they did pure devotional service. But after just getting this encounter with Lord Narayan, they became pure devotees, 100% pure devotees. Okay? So that was accomplished. Another thing is he gets this pastime will result in Lord Narayan getting a chance to glorify his great devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, right? Prahlad Maharaj, it comes as the son of Hiranyakashipu, so that also comes into play. And also he gets to show how he protects his devotees. Because, Lord Nrisimhadev comes ultimately to protect Prahlad Maharaj, who is being harassed by, or tortured actually, by his father. Excuse me for a second. So that's there. And even in this pastime, Lord Narayan is showing how he protects his devotees because there is, back on 3:15:37, anyway, what happens is Lord Narayan, it's mentioned that the reason why Lord Narayan appeared on the scene just like that when he understood what was going on, it says in the purport, Prabhupada says, so his devotees would not be vanquished forever. You see? So he was protecting. He demonstrates once again, he demonstrates as Nrisimhadev when he comes to rescue Prahlad Maharaj, and even here he's demonstrating how he protects his devotees. It's interesting to note, because these two purports did talk about the dangers of offending a Brahmin or a Vaishnav or like that, a sage. At this point, the four Kumaras, as I said, pronounced the curse. They weren't great devotees, but they were brahmanas. So it's very, it's a good idea to not, as a matter of policy, try to avoid offending anybody, especially, it's not like if you just, the point I'm trying to make is that it's not only pure devotees we have to avoid offending, because, you know, the repercussions could be very severe, but brahmanas too. You know, they were brahmanas, they weren't pure devotees, but still, they were still powerful enough in Lord Narayan's estimation to, you know, to, if it got escalated, if things got more aggravated and the, you know, the situation escalated, they could have vanquished Jayan Vijay forever, according to what Prabhupada's saying in the purport. So that's a lesson there. And, well, Lord Brahma gets a chance to preach. You know, he's telling the story. Who's Lord Brahma speaking to here in this part? Demigods, right, thank you. You know, there's so many stories within stories in the Bhagavatam. Sometimes I lose track. But Lord Brahma gets a chance to describe to the demigods the past time and preach at the same time. We heard some wonderful instructions from Lord Brahma here, as well as many other devotees, throughout history. We'll get a chance to retell this story and like that. So these are the specific objectives that were achieved by Lord Narayan in regard to this particular pastime. But what is there a general principle? What's the general principle? No, that's a rhetorical question. I'm going to answer it myself. Thank you. The general principle of Krishna, performing these pastimes is that he's trying to attract the conditioned souls. It's part of Krishna's program to attract conditioned souls back to Godhead. That's what Krishna is trying to do. And, he's doing that. And, I'll just say a little something, to kind of make that more understandable, that particular point. Before I became a devotee, I was living at home, and we had like some problems in the family. I had a younger brother. He had a terminal disease, and he was ill for, a prolonged period of time. And it happened sort of right at the time when I was graduating high school. Anyway, it was pretty intense. I wanted to go away to college, and my father didn't think it was a good idea. I was trying to, part of it was just escape from the drama there, which was kind of irresponsible. But anyway, so my father, in an attempt to get me to stay home, was trying to offer me different things. Hey, I'll buy you a car. I can't remember the list, but, it's just he offered different things to talk me out of it, and I foolishly couldn't appreciate what was going on. I was too immature. I wanted to go. So anyway, so that's Krishna. Krishna's not, my father didn't want to force me. He could have said, he could have said, Jeff, stay home. I don't want you going. And he paid for it. So it's not like, but no, he wanted it to be out of love, that I'm staying because I'm appreciating the overall situation and I want to. So it's like that. Krishna wants devotees, but it's got to be out of love. They have to be choosing to want to be part of the family, so to speak, and participate in what's going on there in the spiritual world. He's not forcing. So the same thing with, the conditioned souls have to be attracted back home, back to Godhead. It's not like Krishna's going to come with the hook and just go, No. So Krishna's trying his best. In these pastimes, Krishna's trying his best to attract the attention attract the affection, attract the conditioned souls to want to, be part of the family again. And so he's performing pastimes like this. And he's trying to do his best. He's trying to put, just like a TV show, a TV network, when they put a show on the air, do they want it to go for just like one season, or do they want it to go for many seasons? Obviously, they wanted to go for many seasons. They put a show on that they want to go on for a long, long time because, they get the most benefit from that. So in the same way, Krishna's putting his best foot forward here in all these different pastimes. It's really like a big attempt on his part to attract conditioned souls back to Godhead, you see? And, that's my understanding of what the general principle is, that Krishna is really, throughout these, like, for instance, this pastime, it's like it's a triple header. I mean, do we have any baseball fans here from the younger days? Everybody remembers what a doubleheader is, right? So the doubleheader was like, I don't know if they still got them or not, but you buy one ticket, but you get to see two baseball games. See? So everybody thinks, that's a real bargain. Oh, I bet, you know. So this is a triple header. Krishna, in this past, of course, he appears first as Lord Nisringadev, then, you know, when it's Ravana and Hiranyaksha, he appears as Lord Ram to deal with that, and then Sisupal Dantavakra, Krishna. You see, so it's like a triple header. This is a, you know, special kind of thing. And, as I said, Krishna is making his best effort to perform these pastimes which will attract conditioned souls. Just like, does anybody know what the most famous TV show is in terms of how many seasons it ran for? You heard of The Simpsons? 34 years. It's still going. It's a sitcom, you know. And then the second most popular show ever on television is Gunsmoke. Ran for 25 years, from 1950 to 1975. And then there's other shows like, probably you ever heard of, you know, soap operas? There's Days of Our Lives, probably, and Guiding Light. They go forever. So the point is that it's not just like a stereotype. It's not like one thing. Krishna doesn't just come up with one kind of pastime. Just like with these shows on television, The Simpsons, that's a situation comedy. Gunsmoke is kind of like a Western adventure. Days of Our Lives is a soap opera. Like that. You see, there's different strokes for different folks. Krishna's kind of, he's putting out all these pastimes, but they're different. You know, they're not all the same. So he's to attract different audiences. He's trying to get everybody in the theater, so to speak, you know. And, so Krishna's trying his best. He's trying his best to do that. And so that's what I come up with as I said at the beginning of the class, when I stop and think about the pastime, which I said is a good idea to do. Those are the kind of things that came to my mind, thoughts I just shared with everybody. So does anybody have any question about anything I've just said? Yeah. Right there. Yeah, wait for the mic.
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for this great class. Just wanted to go back to when you were saying or talking about how the four Kumaras and the two doorkeepers, they weren't acting in a way that represents how they would normally act. And one thing I was wondering is when a devotee is in Krishna's pastimes, or if one becomes a liberated soul, is Krishna kind of just controlling them, or where does their free will come into this if they're acting in a way that doesn't seem to align with how they would normally act? That's what I was wondering.
Yeah, that's a good question. When somebody's a liberated soul, they're desirous that Krishna's pleased. So if Krishna's pleasure, if they can understand that Krishna's pleasure is that they act in a way that would ordinarily seem out of character for a personality in their position, they'll do it because it's Krishna's pleasure. So it's, as I said, it's kind of yoga maya. Krishna's expanding yoga maya like that. And he does it in his many, many different expressions or ways in which that happens. The devotee is able to do that because they have that understanding that, you know, this is for Krishna's pleasure, so they could do that.
Do they know that they're doing that, or is it just happening?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you.
If you accept that reflection, if there's no other question.
Okay.
So, of the wonderful explanations that you gave, there are so many teachings, right? So, I was reflecting about the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, are meant to chant Hare Krishna. That's the beginning.
Not to, sorry?
Chant Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
Forever. Beginning, the middle, and then. So, in this pastime, the offenses are very relevant for us. From beginners, you can be very advanced, or you can just be beginning. It will have an effect in your spiritual life. So, in one of the songs on Narottam Das Thakur is mentioning that Haristane aparade tare harinam, Tomastane aparade nahi paritram. He said, "My glorifying the pure devotee." He said, "If you commit an offense, we commit an offense to Krishna, Govinda." He says, "You can be delivered. In other words, you can be chanting Hare Krishna, no problem. But you can chant Hare Krishna, and if you commit an offense to a devotee, you cannot be delivered. In other words, you have to go to the person who you commit an offense." And we have the perfect example of the Durvasa Muni and
Amarish.
Yeah. So that was the thing that I got from this. Also, one aspect that is very relevant and to us, the offenses. We have been very careful. Although we are chanting Hare Krishna, but if we are not attentive and we commit an offense to the devotee, then that's the problem right there. You can be very learned. You can give good classes. You can be like UBC. You can be a guru. You can be anything. But if you offend a devotee, only the devotee can help you.
So please forgive me for my offenses. Yeah. Archita wanted to say something.
Hare Krishna. Back to the previous question, because it's very important. Sometimes we don't want to go back to God because we think we're going to be just robots. Yes, Krishna, whatever you want, I will do. No, the pure devotees are conscious. And we have so many examples of that, like Arjuna on the battlefield. Krishna told him to kill Karna. He didn't just pre-program him to kill Karna. He told him, do it. Now is your only chance. If you don't do it, you'll never be able to... Like that. So the devotees are aware. Just like Yudhisthira, when he was asked to tell a lie that, you know, Ashwatthama was dead. So the devotees get to reflect. Or the story of the gopis. When they were tested that Krishna has a headache. Only the dust of his devotees... Yes, well, but if you give him his dust, you'll go to... We don't care. We'll go to hell. The dust will cure. So it's not just some pre-programmed automaton type of reaction. The devotees are conscious. We want to do this for Krishna. We want to do this for Krishna. And even if it gives us some bad repercussion, like going to hell for giving the dust of our feet, we'll do it anyway. Because we love Krishna so much, we want Krishna to be happy. So it's not, you're not pre-programmed. Your free will is always there. That's the whole point about free will. And that's why when Krishna comes, he could pre-program us to just go back to Godhead. But no, he gives us his pastimes to attract us, as he very nicely stated in his class. And we have to go along with that program, consciously, willingly. We're not going to be pre-programmed someday. We just wake up all of a sudden, you know, all anarthas have disappeared and we just go with the flow. And at every step, there is free will. And you can choose to go forward or backward, or, you know, it's always free will is there. Hare Krishna.
Take more, is okay. To take another question or two. Okay.
Wonderful class. I just want to point out that what you said actually answered a lot of doubts. It's, you know, Krishna tells Arjuna what to do, but it's how you do it, right? Is that kind of like the quote, like, it's not what you do, it's how you do it, right? With love or affection. Would you say that quote applies?
How does Bhagavad Gita end? Krishna says, "I've told you all of this, now do what you want to do." And Arjuna responds by, "My illusion of God, do whatever you accept." So at every step, he's making a decision. It's not like Krishna's pushing and programming. Krishna says, "I've told you everything, given all reasons to fight for me, now do what you want." And Arjuna says, "Yes, I'm a quiet."
So that relationship of taking instruction. Right. Yeah. John?
No, that's never the case. Prabhupada said, you can't even come back after you go back. Even though Krishna says, when you come back, you never come back into the material world. Well, the devotee asked Prabhupada, he said, yes, you could. But once bitten, twice shy. You put your head in the fire, you don't put it again.
Right.
Free will is always there.
Okay, Deva Radha and something you'd like to ask or say, and then that would be it, and then we'll wrap it up.
Yeah, but we do see instances in the pastimes of the Bhagavatam where pure devotees, their judgment becomes covered over for the purpose of facilitating Krishna's pastimes. This pastime is an example, and Maharaj Parikshit pastime is an example. So I would say that it's not black and white. Daivim prakritim ashrita. Ultimately, Krishna is in control. And in some instances, the devotee's making the decision. But in other instances, the devotee's intelligence becomes covered, but it's being guided by Krishna to act in a particular way in order to facilitate a pastime. And then Krishna kind of reveals it in the course of the pastime. Krishna kind of reveals this is why that happens. So it's not black and white. It's very multidimensional.
You're right. What you're saying is completely correct. Yeah. I think it's two different points, and they're both correct.
Yeah.
Both good points. Okay, thank you. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.